Whether you're a fan looking for great wrestling merchandise like t-shirts, decals, DVDs, and signed pictures, or a wrestler looking to increase your brand, SOS Custom Tees is the partner for you. They do all the work and you make all the profit. Why wear someone else's t-shirt when you can wear your own? That's why they're the official provider of all the merchandise for the Double Dropkick Show. Give them a shout, soscustomtees.com.
Hello again, everybody. This is Lance Russell with Championship Wrestling with another big week. Join us right now.
Check. Check. Now
check,
we
check, check. No, it went out again.
Really?
Yep.
I can hear it a little.
Okay, I can hear you. I can hear you now.
Maybe if you'd let me turn you up past two.
Well, maybe if your voice wasn't so dang annoying. So anyway, we go to Da Vinci's. They got these garlic knot things, man.
Yeah.
They're incredible, dude.
Like, yeah.
It's, I don't even know how they do it, but they like roll the bread around cheese,
uh-huh,
and then put the garlic and all that and slice it,
right,
and then bake them up, and
gotcha.
It's like a cinnamon roll, but instead of the cinnamon, it's full of cheese. They're incredible. But they also have a pizza buffet, and the pizza looked incredible, but that's not what I went there for. And
right,
I was like, I don't know, we might be having pizza tomorrow,
mm-hmm,
so I don't want to mess around with the pizza. Anyway, we're gonna go see Jumanji.
Yeah.
But it didn't start till like 5.
Gotcha.
And it was like 2.
Yeah.
And we were in Anderson, and there's nothing to do in Anderson for 3 hours. If you've been to Anderson.
This is very true.
Anytime in the, like, we went a week ago.
Yeah.
We pretty much did everything that there is to be done.
Yeah.
We walked around Academy.
Yeah.
Walked around Target. You know, walked around Books a Million.
Did you walk around the comic book store?
I didn't go to the comic book store.
Uh-huh.
Walked around Grady's.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Right.
Not a whole lot to do at Anderson. Went to the new Kirkland's.
Don't know what that is.
They sell homeware. You know, things
well,
like
I won't
that.
Be going there then.
I bought a reindeer to go on top of my Christmas tree next year. Mm-hmm. It was like $40. I got it for like 8 because I bought it the day after Christmas.
That's right. That's right.
Went to Bed Bath & Beyond. Bought my mom a Charlie Brown tree. Anyway, did all that about a week ago.
Yeah.
So yesterday, there's nothing to do for 3 hours.
Right.
So we said, you know what? Let's ride to Easley and get a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
Because this is the life of leisure that I lead.
We're going to drive. They do have places in Anderson to get coffee.
Yeah, but they don't have Coyote Coffee.
Okay.
In Anderson. But they got one in Easley.
They have other overrated coffees, but not Coyote. Overrated Coyote Coffee.
Exactly. They have other places that'll serve you a glass of milk with a shot of coffee in it.
Yeah.
And some flavor in it in Anderson. But they don't have Coyote Coffee
right,
in Anderson.
Right.
So, my wife likes Coyote Coffee. I'm not opposed to Coyote Coffee. And the thing she likes about it, you can do it 3 different ways. You can get it hot, you can get it over ice, or they'll make you a milkshake out of it.
Oh, wow.
You know, she wanted the milkshake thing.
Okay.
No, they don't call it a milkshake. They
yeah.
call it frozen.
Okay.
But it's milkshake with a shot of ice, with a shot of coffee in it.
Okay.
Let's be honest. So we were riding to Easley to get our cup of coffee in our life of leisure that we lead.
Yeah.
And I rode by your parents' farm. And thought to myself, it is, I was thinking as we rode by, like I was looking at it and I was looking at the cows and I remember being there as a kid,
yeah,
coming over and running around in those pastures and shooting fireworks and hanging out. You are the only person I've ever met that grew up on a farm that unless they told you they grew up on a farm, you would know that they grew up on a farm.
Yeah,
there is nothing farm kid about you. You never wore like dirty blue jeans to school.
Right. Didn't have the boots. I've never owned a pair of cowboy boots.
You didn't drive a pickup truck. You
didn't. Yeah.
I'm not. Listen, people can call it stereotyping farmers. That's the way they are. That's
listen,
your brother.
I just described your brother. I go to West Oak High School, drop my kids off every day, and that's
I mean,
what I see.
Those are farm kids, man.
Yeah.
That's a great thing.
Yeah.
It's not a bad thing.
There's no America without farm kids.
Absolutely, man. I ain't knocking them. I'm just saying you never came across as one. You never presented as a farm kid. No. Tom Martin, I had no doubt that he was a farm kid. You know what I mean?
Tom Martin would come to school, and you knew he had milked cows that morning.
Yes. Tom got up a couple hours before it was time to go to school and worked on the farm. Alan McAllister, another friend of ours.
Yeah.
Still a farm guy.
Oh, yeah, owns a hay farm.
Got farm kids of his own.
That's right. That's right.
You know? These are my friends that I'm talking about here.
Yeah.
You know.
And you know, we're talking about them on Hey Hey. Welcome to the Double Dropkick Show. I'm Heath Mulliken.
And I'm Mark Whitman.
And you just
I've been rambling for 10 minutes.
It's awesome. I love it. Hey.
I was just talking to you about it. I told you, man. I didn't fall asleep till 5 o'clock. It was about 9:45, and I heard, "Hey, Mark, I think you overslept." And I looked, and the alarm was still going off on my telephone.
Oh, wow.
And it had gone off so long that it quit going off.
Yes.
And I didn't set the air raid siren.
Uh-huh.
So, because I have one of those across the room, just in case, for the days that I actually have to work. You know what I mean? I got the loudest alarm clock that they had. I mean, it is loud.
Yeah.
Now I'm jacked up on this cup of coffee I got from 7-Eleven.
You are jacked up for sure. So, folks, you got to know, you know, we're pretty leisurely around here. I mean, Mark's life of leisure is not just really in regarding to coffee, but in regards to this podcast as well. So, you know, we're just kind of shooting the breeze, you know. But you had something you wanted. So, By the way,
he's Heath Mulliken. I'm Mark Whitman.
Right.
This is the wrestling podcast where we talk about the wrestling you grew up with, the wrestling you need to watch now, and stuff.
And what we've found out is many of you just want to hear about our lives on planet Earth. And
I think so.
That's what we give you. Now, however, if you're a patron, patreon.com/doubledropkick, you get more than that. Coming up, January 12th, Carrie's Corner's back. If you're a patron of the show, giving at least $1 a month, you get into our private Facebook group. We're going to be doing a lot more patrons-only episodes. If you're a $3 and up patron, you get all of our episodes early release, the Tuesday before they come out. If you're a patron, you're also going to start getting the videos of all of our shows.
If you got the money, I'll make you a private video.
Oh, dear heavens. Today, actually, we're recording this on January the 4th. And we're going to
This comes out before the 12th.
No, this comes out on the 12th. So if you're listening to this, you may have already missed Carrie's Corner.
You probably did, but it'll still be there.
When you become a patron, you get access to all the patron stuff from all time.
I already got a couple of good questions. One I'm looking for, because I want to talk about movies and such on the show, too. Like, that's going to be a big thing going forward with it. It won't just be wrestling. I want to talk about movies and I got a couple of good questions I'm going to talk about. I was asked good movie quotes that could be used in wrestling promos, but I'm actually going to delve a little deeper and give my philosophies about using pop culture references in promos.
Okay.
And when it's a good idea and when it's not a good idea.
Okay. That sounds awesome. I may watch that.
I always assumed that you watched all the episodes.
You don't listen to my episodes.
How do you know?
Because I just know.
You don't know that.
Actually, I know you download them because you know.
I listen to some of them.
But you did want to ask me a question today. You came in, and I'm anxious to talk about this. This is a subject that – so go ahead.
It's all been building up in my mind for a few months, I guess. And I thought about it. I listened back, and I don't always listen back to our shows because I was here for the conversation.
Yeah.
But sometimes when there's not another podcast that's new, and sometimes I don't want that 6-hour, you know, thing that has turned into the Bruce Pritchard, which is about the only other wrestling podcast I listen to now. Is Bruce Pritchard's show. But I listened back to our episode, and I made the comment to you that you were a fan that got wrapped up in thinking that you were an expert. And what I was thinking when I said it,
yeah,
but I didn't – I don't think I said it as well as I should have, was that I also did that.
Yes.
It wasn't just you. Like when I said it, I was talking about myself as well, but I didn't feel like it come across that way with what I said.
Yeah.
So I wasn't being critical of you.
No, I took it in a good
I was being critical of us.
Yes.
And it led me to start to think about what makes somebody. First of all, what gives you the gall enough to think that you are an expert?
Yeah.
And what actually makes somebody an expert? And I was looking last night because I couldn't sleep, and I knew that the New Japan show was going on.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking at the Twitter feed, and I saw this tweet that said 4 1/4.
Yeah.
And that's all it said, 4 1/4.
Yeah.
And the guy had a blue check by his name. So I was like, well, who is this? Because I've never heard of it.
Right.
And I follow wrestling journalism fairly close.
Yeah.
My good personal friend who I communicate with quite frequently, Bruce Mitchell.
Yes.
he wished me happy birthday the other day. I mean, you know.
I did.
We're friends on Facebook. So clearly we're friends in real life, the way I see it.
Yes.
But anyway, yes. No, I'm just kidding. But, like I look at him because I've listened to what he said and I've put it through the fire and I think he does know what he's talking about.
Yeah.
But this guy, I saw the 1 1/4 and then I clicked on the tweet and under it some other guy said, "Well, I had it at 3 at 3 1/4." and I'm like, these guys have got like, you know, it's about as many followers as I got, but one of them's got a blue check.
Yeah.
How does that happen? So, of course, I gotta find out who is this guy.
Yeah.
Come to find out, he writes for Bleacher Report.
Yeah.
The worst place. And
right.
So then there's his pinned tweet. His pinned tweet, the first thing that he wanted me to know about him.
Yeah.
Was if you can, I don't want to quote him wrong. That's why I'm not saying his name. But basically, Okada had the best year of any wrestler in the history of wrestling.
Yeah.
The best year ever.
Right.
For any wrestler in the history of wrestling.
Yeah.
And if you would rate Strowman's year or Reigns' year or anybody else's year better than he is, then you must not be, I forget how he said it, but you don't understand the business. If you don't understand that Okada had the best year
ever,
and I thought maybe this guy is trolling, you know what I mean? Because certainly you're not going to sit there claiming to be a wrestling expert and tell me that Kuchikata Okada or Kuchikita, what's his name?
Okada
had a better year
In 2017
than Steve Austin did in like 98, 99. And if you're just talking about work and the quality of matches, you're going to tell me that he had a better year than Kenta Kobashi had when he held the Noah title? Those are some of the greatest matches to ever take place.
Yes.
Against the top level talent in the world, including Mitsuhira Misawa,
yes,
the greatest wrestler of all time.
And the winner of the first annual Ultimate Fantasy Wrestling Tournament.
There you go. So
that accolade.
You're going to tell me that Okada had a better year than The Rock when he made the move and the successful transition from being a professional wrestler to one of the highest paid actors in Hollywood.
Yes.
I would argue that the year he made the move to making movies was the best year that anybody had as a wrestler, because he successfully did something that a lot of people had been trying to do. And not only did he do it, he did it and became the biggest star in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Franchise Viagra, they call him.
Well, here's the thing. What makes somebody an expert at anything?
Right, not just wrestling. And then, I see this other guy. I don't know his name. I do know his name, but I don't want to say his name.
Right.
Because he's around here. He's probably a friend of yours.
Okay.
I know he's a friend of yours because I've seen you talk to him.
Yeah.
I've seen him, whatever. So I don't want to get in the middle of your friendship.
Right.
But whoever this guy that gets on all these Facebook posts and runs down all this talent.
Oh, yeah. I know who you're talking about. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I would tell him to go do something, but he's already going and doing it anyway.
This is true. This is true.
And the only thing I ever see him liking is young guys.
Correct.
Who are 125 pounds.
Right.
Kind of wafy.
Right.
Seems to be big fans of theirs.
Yeah, no, I don't know that there's any dispute about that. So is some, like, you can say this in football, religion, all, like, the people on Fox News, like, you got somebody, like, this person, it's their foreign policy correspondent.
Yeah.
What makes you a foreign, what makes you an expert in foreign policy? If you were an expert in foreign policy, there'd be peace in the Middle East right now. You wouldn't be sitting your butt on Fox News talking about it.
It's a good point.
But they ain't never done anything in the business. All they can do is talk about it.
That's the thing. And what makes you? You're a guy, not you, but just anybody.
Yeah.
You got 13 followers on Twitter.
Yeah.
You got an egg for a profile picture.
Yeah.
You never made a, you don't make a dollar at a real job. You ain't making money at a real job.
Right.
Much less in the wrestling business. The only thing athletic about you is your feet. The only exercise you get is jumping to conclusions. But all of a sudden you think that you know more about what Vince McMahon should have done than the guy who made, oh, I don't know, $1 billion in the wrestling industry.
Yes.
This man is a billionaire.
Yes.
With a B.
Yeah.
The only B in your life is the one that starts at the beginning of B-O, because you ain't got out of that easy chair and put them Cheetos down long enough to do anything with your life. So you sit around and you criticize the people that are actually out there doing it and actually out there making money at it.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Yeah,
the mentality of somebody with 13 Twitter followers who's never done anything in their life telling the WWE or Roman Reigns what he should be doing different.
Yeah.
He's doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, maybe he ain't doing it perfectly.
Right.
Maybe you don't like what he's doing.
Right.
But clearly he's doing something right because he's making money.
So let me get this straight. You have a guy, 13 followers on Twitter, egg for a profile picture. He doesn't like what Vince is doing, doesn't like what Roman Reigns is doing, tunes in every show.
Yeah. Don't just watch Raw.
Right.
Also watches SmackDown.
Yeah.
Watches all the pay-per-views. You know what that fella needs to learn?
Yeah.
That life's too short to watch bad wrestling. And if you think life's too short to watch bad wrestling, you can pick yourself up a Double Dropkick Show t-shirt.
That's right. SOScustomTees.com, the official sponsor of the Double Dropkick Show. Hey, let's talk about this while we're talking about experts. So there's this thing going on now. Uh-huh. Sponsored athletes.
Uh-huh.
There's another podcast. It's a podcast you and I have made fun of on here before.
Which one?
We're not going to mention them by name. They have one of the ugliest logos.
I know what you're talking about. They're paying somebody to wear their shirt.
And they're like, if you, I don't care what business you are. If you just give a guy a shirt to wear, an ugly butt shirt, you know, to keep it PG. Not right. Like this.
Not
shirt,
like that beautiful Double Dropkick Show.
We have one of the best. We have the best podcast logo. Wrestling, political, sports, best podcast logo in the galaxy.
I agree.
But it was professionally done. Mm-hmm. Didn't do it on Corel Art on my, you know, Windows XP computer. Print it off on a shirt and say, hey, you're sponsored. Wear our t-shirt. Let me tell you, if you're a wrestler out there and you have somebody coming to you. Now, if Nike comes to you and says, hey, wear our shirt, we're going to pay you $100 a night every time you wear the shirt. Boom, take that deal. But if you just got a random podcast saying, hey, wear our shirt, you're a sponsored athlete. You know what you need to do? You need to contact the good folks at SOS Custom Tees because they'll give you they can hook you up with a shirt that's got your name on
right,
it. Sponsor
right.
yourself.
Sponsor
you can
yourself
make,
and make some money.
Don't be you ain't gotta give out a promo code. Hey, use my promo code when you buy a shirt that don't say nothing about me. Buy right. my shirt with my name on it and put money in my pocket, period. Listen.
It's the easiest thing in the world.
That's right. SOS Custom Tees. They work with the great people there at Three Count Design. They'll hook you up. They'll design it for you, print it,
you
ship
don't have
it.
To, all you have to do is get in touch with SOS Custom Tees and say, look, I don't want to wear somebody else's logo.
Yeah.
I want to wear my own logo. I want my own T-shirt. And Ashley will hook you up, man.
Yeah.
She'll create a design for you.
You just tell them your idea.
They'll put it on your T-shirt, and you'll start making money.
Yeah.
It's the simplest thing in the world, man.
Right. And you don't have to you ain't got to buy 100 T-shirts to take this show. You take one of every size. Hopefully, you'll sell out. And if people say, hey, I want a medium of this. Well, I don't have a medium right here. Boom. You get your little thing. They order it right there on the phone. And by the end of the week, they're going to have it. In their box. They're going right. to be wearing it on their back.
And everybody's going to say, where'd you get that awesome T-shirt at? And you can tell them. SOS Custom.
Because what's cooler? What's cooler, wearing a shirt that has a quote that you said or wearing the logo of a company that don't give a crap about you?
Right. Exactly.
They just know you're a mark, and we're just going to, all right, we're going to give you a shirt to wear. Uh-huh. Idiots. Let me tell you. So here, we've said it before.
Not experts,
that's right. So Dave Meltzer, let's talk about this. He's the greatest worker in the history of the business.
Oh, absolutely.
Because, absolutely. And I don't know that Meltzer's ever called himself an expert.
He hasn't.
But he, for 30-plus years, he has been writing about wrestling. He has been watching wrestling. He has been talking about wrestling. Mm-hmm. He has formed opinions. He has formed a thought. He's formed thoughts about wrestling, and people pay him.
Uh-huh.
Now, does that make somebody an expert that somebody's paid you for your opinion? At that point, are you an expert or are you just...
Listen, I don't know that that Ric Flair is an expert on professional wrestling. I think Ric Flair is an expert at putting together a Ric Flair match.
Yes.
I think he's an expert at how to market the Nature Boy Ric Flair.
Yeah.
But I don't know that that makes him necessarily I can say emphatically that he is not an expert.
That's right.
Because you can go back and watch it when he was booking it, and it was not that great.
Right. And you talked.
And he knows it.
Yes.
He knew it.
Yeah.
And that's why when he was booking, he went to Eddie Gilbert and Jim Cornette.
Yeah.
And said, hey, you guys want to join the booking committee?
Right. That's right.
Because he knows it.
That's right.
John Cena knows that he's not an expert.
Yeah.
But he knows how to be John Cena.
Yes. Yes.
So he's an expert at being John Cena. It's because what you get into with that, I look at it like this, man. If you played, you play basketball in high school. And maybe you were good enough that you got a scholarship to go somewhere like Southern Wesleyan where you went to school.
Right.
And you were good enough to go play basketball there. Maybe you didn't get a full scholarship.
Right.
You got a partial scholarship. You played some basketball. Does that mean that you know more about basketball than a guy who watched basketball for 15 years?
Yeah. I hear what you're saying.
I would contend that it means you know more about what actually goes on the court than the guy who's never been on the court.
Right.
You understand that part. By that rationale, does the guy who played, 2 years at Southern Wesleyan and got a partial scholarship, that doesn't mean he understands how the business of the NBA works?
That's right. That's right.
Because he doesn't. He knows nothing about how the NBA's business works. But that doesn't mean that he doesn't understand what happens on the court just as much as LeBron James does. LeBron James is just better at it.
Yeah.
At what goes on the court. But it doesn't mean that the guy who's just been watching basketball for 30 years doesn't know a good basketball game when he sees one.
This is true. Yes. Very well said. Very well said. And I think Meltzer, what he as an analyst, okay, I would say, is he an expert analyst? I don't know, because sometimes I like different wrestling than what he likes.
And that's the thing. He's like everybody else. He's got a fan base.
Yeah.
And people do look to him, whether he is an expert or not an expert, people look to him and see him as an expert. And I think that's what makes – if everybody's in agreement, all right, maybe not everybody's perfect, but this guy, he's probably got – what Dave understands, I think, more than a lot of people is the business side.
Yeah.
Of wrestling.
Because he looks at those numbers.
Right. It's not necessarily what he – because he'll tell you that – when he says something's a five-star match, it's pretty much his opinion.
Yeah.
There are criteria for ranking a match five stars, and I don't know that a lot of people – like when I hear somebody go, well, I had it at 4.25 stars.
Yeah.
Like,
what does that even mean?
What does that mean? Like, what was your criteria?
Right.
There's a lot of things that go – you know, crowd heat and rest holds being used and not being a big stop in the action, all that stuff, you know, no botches of any sort and all that. Sometimes botches make a match better.
Right.
Think about the time Brock Lesnar did the shooting star press off of Kurt Angle. That kind of made that match better.
Yeah, that match would have been forgettable.
Right.
It was a great match.
Great match, but you would have forgotten about it were it not for that botch.
Yeah.
So I don't think – like when is it okay to subtract stars for a botch? Or when does a botch enhance the match? So, but he's never been one – he's always said that stuff is subjective. He's clearly got a bias, and he says that he doesn't. But he does have a bias for Japanese wrestling.
That's right.
Because he's a good worker, man. I heard somebody ask him one time, what business have you – I forget how they've worded it, but it was one of the greatest responses he could have ever given. And they said, what kind of business have you done? Or something like, what have you done in the business? He said, well, I've operated one for over 30 years that's made a profit. He made more money than it made the previous year, every year for the last 30 years.
Yeah.
So I have done that.
Yeah.
and that's what it's about. He's making money.
Yeah. There was a match, I just saw the clip this morning, SWA East Tenali, Georgia. And it was just the clip of the match. The match ends with a fireball being thrown, and the returning wrestler spears his hated arch rival, pins him.
Mm-hmm.
People would say, oh, dude, that's just garbage wrestling. That's a one-star match. But I saw the guy who threw the fireball. You can hear the crowd saying, you worthless piece of – I mean, they are about to riot.
Right. And that's what it's all about.
And I'm telling you, so somebody would say, well, that's a garbage match. Let me just tell you, you get a reaction like that with people who, and we're talking about a family and friends crowd. Mm-hmm. We're talking about, these are people calling you that who know you.
Mm-hmm.
And in that moment, you've hooked them.
Right.
And they're legitimately mad at you. They think, and to me, that's... even with movies, what made somehow Siskel and Ebert watched movies, people decided they were experts.
Right.
And said, hey, thumbs up or thumbs down, what do Siskel and Ebert think? Will we, you know, they didn't like this movie. I'm not going to go see this movie. Well,
I think the good thing about Siskel and Ebert, have you ever gone back and watched any of their stuff on YouTube?
Because
I do, man.
Yeah.
Because I used to love that show.
Yeah,
I'm a big movie buff, so I always caught that show on the weekends. And I went back and watched them. The best thing about Roger Ebert was you don't watch that for when they like something.
That's right.
You watched it for when Roger Ebert hated something.
Yes.
Because when he hated something, he hated it with a white-hot passion.
Yeah.
And he would just hand out these scathing reviews of these movies that he didn't like. But it was also a thing where you knew – he was probably going to like the art house type flicks, the award contenders, and he was not going to like Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
He's never going to like Yeah. Because that's one of the ones that got the most hate. The original Friday the 13th was just
– I need
just
to watch tore that.
It apart. They're incredible.
Man. Yeah.
They're incredible. Where he was like listing the names of the directors and the producers and saying that these people don't understand or appreciate human life and you should contact the movie studios and tell them not to give these people any more money. I mean, it was
– That's funny.
It's good stuff, man.
But I think –
But like people like me would know – Well, he hated this movie, so I got to see it.
That's right.
Why did he? It was almost like they were in the business of working too.
Right. And here's the deal, okay? And this just occurred to me. If you go back and watch that show, there's no middle of the road reviews.
No, it's thumbs up or thumbs down.
Right. And so, like, for them, their money is made through the movie business. So, for them to succeed, the movie business has to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
And so, why would you try to kill? That's what doesn't make any sense about some of these wrestling experts. Like, why would you? You want the business to do well. If you're talking about wrestling, why would you put it down in such a way? And then if it fell apart tomorrow, you'd be like, oh, man, I hate it fell apart. You've been hating on it for years.
Yeah.
Like, why would you do that? And, I think just because, you draw a good house in a little podunk town and you think, oh, man, I'm an expert in the wrestling business. You drew one good house one night.
Okay.
Know.
Was it a good house?
When I say good, I mean compare. I mean in their minds, it's good.
Okay.
Because depending on who you talk to, man, a good house is relative. I'll tell you what I'm an expert on. Okay. I'm an expert at counting. When I go to a wrestling show,
I'll agree with that. You're smart with numbers.
When I go to a wrestling show. And I take the time, show to show, to physically count, okay? And over the past year, I have a comparison of shows, 12 to 15 shows that I've been to, and I've counted the people at each one, and I know if I count 73 people at a show, and then somebody wants to come tell me, oh, yeah, man, we had 125 people, I'm like, No, we didn't.
Mm-hmm.
We had 73 people. Mm-hmm. All right. So when I say that's a good house, I'm meaning in comparison of the local context that I'm involved in. So when I was at PCW, appreciated the opportunity to be a ring announcer, and they have from 275 to 300 people. In my experience in this area in South Carolina, that's a good house. Now, compared to Crockett on a Monday night 30 years ago, it ain't a good house.
Right. So, do you think you're an expert at counting people?
No. I would say I'm one of the best ever. But I wouldn't call myself an expert.
You're the Ric Flair of counting people.
Yeah.
See, I don't know that I'm an expert on anything wrestling related the more I think about it. I just realize that I have my own opinions about stuff.
Right.
And that's what I do.
And I think what makes the show tick is when you and I have different opinions because we do like different things because we come from different, life experiences and things. If you and I agreed on everything, life would be boring. The show would be boring.
But you do always wind up agreeing with me.
Because I do come around to the dark side and see that you're right about a lot of things. Because, I mean, when we first started this show, I didn't care about Stan Hansen and Bruiser Brody, but I go back and watch him like, yeah, this is good. Like, I still don't prefer the Brody style of wrestling.
Right, right.
Like, if I have to choose, hey, you can watch a Bruiser Brody match or you can watch an AJ Styles match, I'm going to watch an AJ Styles match.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't make me a bad person. Doesn't make you a bad person if you disagree. But I can say, man, I don't say, boy, that Bruiser Brody, boy, he was terrible. He didn't have any good matches. All his matches in the same. I was like, man, guy made some money.
That's it.
Pity that I need to save that for off the air, that comment that I was going to make.
No,
I really do need to save it for off the air. because I've been thinking about it, but it has to do with Bruiser Brody. I don't think anybody's an expert on anything except Vince McMahon, because he's made billions.
Well, I don't think he's an expert either. I think he's a great promoter.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe there are no experts. There's a guy named Tim Ferriss. He just wrote a book called Tribe of Mentors. And it's based on these people who are successful in fields all across the broad spectrum. Mm-hmm. And he gets their best ideas. I don't know that he calls them an expert on everything. Just because you gave a TED Talk somewhere and it went viral on YouTube doesn't make you an expert on nothing.
No.
Is Chris Rock an expert on comedy? He might be.
Dave Chappelle.
According to him,
his new special is really good.
I have heard.
It is really good. Yes, it is great. And he's like,
he don't care.
He doesn't. He's reached that point, man, where he does not care. He said he's pretty much retiring from comedy because you can't be a comedian with a generation of people whose ears are so delicate.
Yeah, no, that's right. Yeah. Have you ever seen the In the Actor's Studio episode with him? Mm-hmm. And he like starts talking about stuff and like gets into like, you want to say almost Illuminati. But that stuff's not real. I'm an expert on analyzing experts on the Illuminati. Just so everybody's know. But I don't want to, I'm a fan. You said it earlier. We're fans. We have opinions. We try to offer our opinions in an entertaining way, and I do think some people do that better than others.
Yeah,
shows, you know, more viewers than you, more downloads, more subscribers, more patrons, more T-shirts, more paying gigs. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, anything else you want to say on this topic?
I'm not an expert, and that is this thing that it's been on my mind for a while, and you know, and I just don't want to get caught up in that. When I watch that, I don't want to be part of that anymore.
Yeah. I think can we all just agree that we're all going to have opinions on wrestling? And now, if I'm talking to Rick, let's just say Ric Flair walks in. And I'm talking to Ric Flair about wrestling. And Ric Flair shares an opinion about wrestling. And Mr. Bird Egg, 13 followers on Twitter, shares his opinion on wrestling. I'm going to give a little more weight to what Mr. Flair says.
Yeah.
And I think that's
the reason I give more weight to what Jim Ross and Jim Cornette and Steve Austin and Bruce Pritchard think than I give to what I think or what Dave Meltzer thinks. I do give a little more, especially when they're discussing the in-ring, what needs to happen and what needs to go on. Like, Steve Austin clearly did something right.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, so he clearly knew what he was talking about, you know.
Yeah.
Jim Ross successfully helped, if not book, at least sign good talent.
Yes.
I don't know that they've ever had a crop of talent.
No.
As successful as the ones that Jim Ross signed.
So,
that's debatable, I guess. But
so let's segue into this. I saw a post in a Facebook group. Imagine that. A post in a Facebook group. And it was Kevin Nash talking to somebody, and he was talking about a conversation he had with Vince at WrestleMania a couple of years ago. And he basically,
I saw that.
Vince said, you know, it's just not the same. Guys just aren't the same. And this person's like, no, Vince, it's you. It's the creative problem. And I think, my thing is, it's not the same. And you mentioned guys like Steve Austin and The Rock. And hey, Steve Austin and The Rock weren't just going out there and saying, you know, I'm going to get my stuff in, you get your stuff in, let's just have a good match and we'll shake hands at the end.
No.
They were,
if you believe it, everybody at that point was basically trying to undercut one another.
That's right.
Make sure that what they did was a little bit better than, like, I'm the top guy. I'm the one that's going to shine at the end of this match.
And I think everybody, I mean, the reason you have what you have in WWE right now, which is really no top talent, I think a lot of that, if you're a good talent and you are coming up with ideas on your own, but Vince's comment to Nashville is everybody's just sitting around waiting for us to come up with ideas. But if you're like a go-getter and you're coming up with ideas on your own and you're pitching it and you're pitching it and you're pitching it and you're pitching it and you believe in yourself and you believe in your talent and then you get that opportunity and you knock it out of the park and you're not just satisfied with just being like everybody else and being mediocre, that's what I feel is missing. Is like people have worked so hard for so long to get to NXT and WWE, it's almost like they're just happy to be there.
I think some people, I use AJ Styles. I don't know.
This yeah.
is just as an outsider looking at
you. Yeah.
My opinion of it. And I think you'll see this with Kenny Omega.
Yeah.
I believe. And yeah. I may be wrong. Kenny Omega may pull a Stan Hansen.
Yeah.
I think that they do something for a long time for the love of it,
mm-hmm.
for the love of the game. All right. But then I think you get a guy like AJ Styles that gets into his late 30s and he says, all right, now I need to go secure my bank account.
Yes.
So maybe I'm not going to be able to have the creative freedom that I would have in a New Japan.
Right.
Or even at a TNA. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to go over here and I'm going to put a couple of $1 million in the bank.
Yeah.
And that way I can secure my family's future. I don't have to worry about retirement or anything. I can do what CM Punk. It's another, I'm going to do this. Because all that stuff you said and coming up with stuff, he did a lot of that, and he still kind of wound up leaving because it wasn't satisfying to him.
Yeah.
But he left with millions of dollars in the bank.
Right, right.
You know?
So you
secure your family's future, and I think I may be wrong. There's always was talk that was Brody's plan.
Yeah.
That Brody knew that he was coming in, that he was already in the twilight of his career.
Yeah.
And a lot of people have speculated that he knew the end of his career was at a WrestleMania taking the leg drop
in
the big boot.
Yeah.
He knew that, and he was okay with that to provide and make sure his family was taken care of.
I think, I don't know that – it's just a different mindset today.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, and it's not just in wrestling.
I think there's a difference between living your dream and looking at the wrestling business as a business, as a way to make money, which I think is where in the past a lot of guys who they played football, they hurt their knee. Wahoo McDaniel.
Yeah.
Hurt my knee, hurt my hip, whatever. Mm-hmm. And now I'm going to go do wrestling and make some money. And he was wrestling in the off season.
Yeah.
And playing football during the football season. And he realized he was making more money wrestling than he was playing football.
Right.
So he started wrestling because he could make more money that way.
Yeah.
And I think that used to be a mentality. A lot of guys they were tough and they could wrestle or they could fight, whatever. And they went into the wrestling business as a means to provide for their families.
Yeah.
I don't think Harley Race ever looked at it as living his dream.
Yeah. I was privy to a conversation backstage at a recent show, and it was a guy who's been wrestling over 10 years, and he's talking to a young guy just starting, and the young guy was saying, hey, you know, I got this booking, and it's only this much, and the dude was basically saying, listen, sometimes you got to take bookings like that. And he said, where I'm at, he said, I got a family. He said, I don't take a booking that's a negative. Where if I add up the travel and everything I got to do and I'm going to lose money, he said, I don't take those anymore because I'm not in a position to.
Right.
He's like, but you're in a position where you're going to have to do. He said, I did that for a long time, but I don't do that anymore. And, it's just a different beast, but I think there's guys. We've said it before, you know. Even if you're a wrestler, and you only wrestle 4 or 5 matches a year, you know, at what point can you really call yourself a wrestler?
Right. Right. I mean, if you're wrestling 5 times a year, you got a hobby.
That's right.
You're not a businessman.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not
totally right.
At all.
Totally right.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with having that as a hobby.
Yeah.
But you got to be realistic about what it is.
Right.
It is a hobby.
And I'm going to be, you know, working, you know, coming up and with some of the guys down at SWA in East Denali, and it's they're just having fun, man. Mm-hmm. It's like, hey, let's come up with our own ideas and do this, and it's a starting point for a lot of young guys. And like you said, dude, there's nothing if that's what you want to do and it makes you happy. That's there's great. nothing wrong with that. If you're having fun, like that's the thing.
Right. If it's not fun, why would you?
Put, especially something that puts your, like Neville. Neville walked away. Kudos to him.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and Neville's a guy that'll, when his no compete clause is up, if they let him out of it, hell, it might be 2 years before they let him out of his contract.
Right.
I don't know how that works.
Yeah, I don't either.
I don't. And he may have to set it out for a couple of years, but he's a guy that, like Cody Rhodes, bet on himself.
Yeah,
and he's done all right, man.
Yeah,
but I think eventually he'll wind up back in WWE.
Right,
when he's made a name and he can go back and it'll have Matt Hardy did the same thing. How long was he out of WWE when you would have thought Hardy's gonna wind up working in front of 100 people mm-hmm. for the rest of his career?
Yeah,
he reinvented himself.
Yeah,
and he kept trying different things.
Yeah.
And he finally hit on something that That's people right. got behind.
Yeah.
And it got him back to WWE. And I think Cody Rhodes will do the same thing.
Yeah.
You know.
I agree with
And my point is, I think Neville will do the same thing. Neville's one of those guys that'll make a lot of money doing personal appearances, and he'll probably do some stuff with New Japan, and he may show up in TNA or Impact, whatever yeah. they're called. He may show up there. But yeah. even at the very least, he'll show up at, you know, PWG and PWX and places like that, and he'll do personal appearances, and he'll make money, and he'll sell some T-shirts and some 8x10s, and he'll do all right.
But if you're a wrestling fan listening to this, and if you're listening to this, you're a wrestling fan, no matter what. Like, every wrestler was a wrestling fan. Everybody, you're a fan.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, if you're on Twitter or seeing something and you see somebody's opinion that you don't agree with, their opinion, there's nobody's opinion that's
more valid than yours.
Right.
It's just an opinion.
It's just an opinion.
They're like booty holes. Everybody's got one, and most of them stink.
Right. And Mark and I, like, we feel like we're here. I mean, we will tell you when someone is wrong. Mm-hmm. Like, I think we're experts at that. We're experts at pointing out the stupidity. You point out my stupidity and the stupidity of others. And I appreciate that. Because sometimes I think the record will show. I need – and sometimes I don't – even when my stupidity has been pointed out to me, sometimes you got to hit rock bottom, you know?
Yeah, I think I'm an expert in keeping it real.
You do keep it real for the most part. Yeah, sure. Okay. Yeah, I'll go along with that. You're right. I'm also an expert in knowing a good deal when I see one. Mm-hmm. And there's two great deals I want to tell you about. Number one, it's the $1 patron deal. $1. You get into a private. You know what that means? Exclusive. Facebook group. Mm-hmm. One thing we're going to start this year. Not going to be able to do every pay-per-view. We're not going to do pay-per-view thread in Wrestling Europe with. There's 9,000 people in there. A lot of bad opinion in there. But in our patrons group, hey, we'll watch the pay-per-views with you. Do a thread in there. Here, let you talk. And also, if you're a patron, you can submit the dumbest post ever to the Wrestling You Grew Up With. I'm hitting approve.
Yeah.
If you're a patron, you're approved. Also, another great deal, soscustomtees.com. $20 get you. If you're a patron and watching this video, this is the shirt you need. The Double Drop Kick Show. I've never been so proud. Mm-hmm. Couldn't find my Mark Whitman quote shirt. The Life's Too Short to Watch Bad Wrestling. Did see my Unbookable shirt. That was the number one seller in 2017 for SOS Custom Tees. And right now, if you go and like their Facebook page, there's a link in our show notes. If you like their Facebook page during the month of January, it enters you into a contest every single month. And then on the last day of January, Boomer Payne is going to do a drawing, and he's going to give away something from their website. Could be a T-shirt, could be an autographed picture, could be a DVD, could be a decal. It's going to be something awesome. Mm-hmm. And all you got to do is like their page, and every single month he's going to draw a name out of there. So we're wanting to get their likes up, but we're also wanting to hook you up with some good stuff because I'm an expert in helping people get free stuff.
That's right. Yes. Another thing that I was thinking, and I've said it to you, and I think if you're listening to this,
yeah,
and you're a member of the wrestling you grew up with group,
yes,
on Facebook, and you have a podcast, or you have a YouTube channel, or you just whatever you do,
yeah,
and you're trying to promote your
right.
your business on our group,
yeah.
The free ride is about to come to an end.
This is very true. This is very true. I mean, we've been very cool from the start. Part of this is there's a lot of people, they're not engaging in the discussion. They're just spamming us.
Right.
With their stuff. Right. And
that stuff's not going to get approved.
And
if you want to post about your podcast or your YouTube channel, that's great. For $1 a month, you can become a patron.
Yes. And for $1 a month, you can promote your podcast to a group with 90,000 people
right.
worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
We're more worldwide than Global Force Wrestling.
Yes.
Yeah. We've sold out more baseball stadiums this year than Global Force Wrestling.
Now you're just making ridiculous claims.
Wouldn't be the Double Drop Kick show if I weren't making ridiculous yes. claims.
If you weren't speaking in hyperboles.
So that was not one of my New Year's resolutions, to tone it down a bit on my hyperbole. I don't really know how to wrap this up. We're just having a great chat, a great conversation. I'm so hungry. I've been on a diet. I've been saving up calories for the day, and I know, Mark, you had a rough night. You're not really feeling it. I don't know where we're going to eat. You don't care where we eat. I am just hungry. I'm about to starve.
Well, let's go get some
I'm down
meat.
To 235 pounds, Mark. I'm wasting away.
You look like you're
Margaritaville. What are we doing? But anyway, you need to do all that. Like our page, Double Drop Kick Show. We got about 1,700 likes. That's more than your whole YouTube channel has views. There you go.
Across all videos.
Across all videos.
Added together, too.
We're going to meet those guys eventually, I think. They don't even know. They don't even know we exist, and I don't really care.
Oh, I don't even know who we're talking about.
Oh, yeah. But their T-shirt is butt ugly.
Oh, is it?
It is. Oh, and I need you to show. Oh, anyway. All right. Hey. I'm at Heath Mulliken.
I'm at the DDK Show, and I want to tell everybody I'm not on Twitter as much anymore, so if you tweet at me and I don't respond, don't take it personal. It's too negative, man.
We're trying to leverage our most bang for our buck with our time and social media focus.
Right.
So we're really this year focusing on our patrons. I have been, you know, I'm just going to be honest. So in the world of podcasting, downloads is a big thing. But if you're not, you know, Bruce Pritchard or Steve Austin and got millions and millions of downloads, you know, for Podcast One or whatever, downloads don't really matter.
Right.
So we're really, I mean, I'm really just kind of changing my mindset from focusing on getting downloads to putting out great content and building our patron base. And we're going to do that by offering just, you know, things to our patrons, offering, you know, exclusive episodes and doing some really cool things in there with them.
There you go.
And just being your friend. Just being your friend. So I think it's cool that since we started, like, people started listening to our podcast and are now chasing their dream of being a professional wrestler.
Yeah, that's cool, man.
I think that's really cool. So, mm-hmm. Hey, thank you for listening to this episode, whether you listened to it at DoubleDropKick.com on iTunes or Stitcher Radio or the Google Play Store. We always appreciate you hitting that download button, subscribing, rating, and reviewing, and telling all your friends about it. But as always, for the Double Drop Kick Show, I'm Heath Mulliken.
I'm Mark Whitman.
And that's it this week, fans. So long for now.